You guys ready?
We're
okay,
ready.
Cool. All right.
Who's pouring the drinks?
First question. Who's pouring the drinks?
That's how we get ready.
That's how we start. You know, a show doesn't start until we get drinks poured. You know,
you gonna get it?
We can see the monkey shoulder here.
No, it's just for show.
I just don't want it behind my shoulder. I want it in front of me.
There's not enough for everyone, you know?
Oh,
so.
That's why. Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, I'll get a few glasses.
We actually just, it's just food coloring and water.
That's
okay,
it.
Yeah, we can afford the actual, you know.
We can fake it.
We can fake it. See, we threw them off.
I know.
We threw them right off first, right out of the gate.
I mean, you guys don't start with a bourbon?
Sometimes we, I'm going
to
be honest.
That they're going to have to, when they cut this, they're going to have to open it.
Yeah, I'm gonna be honest, we always we used to drink every podcast, and then we just kind of went into like a thing where we show up and just kind of like get into it, but yeah, it was the past like three or four we hadn't drank.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
And you still did a show?
I know. Yeah, I mean, it was kind of,
we can't,
you know,
do that.
It was kind of boring, you know.
It's too flat for us.
Yeah, you gotta drink. Well, we start drinking a couple of hours before we go on.
So it makes it very interesting.
Yeah. So by the time the show begins, we already got the giggles.
All right. Now we're good, right?
We are.
All right. Thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of the Cigar Guys podcast. We have myself, as usual, Zachary Nikolai, and we have some special guests here with us today from the Great Lakes Smoke Show. We've got Frank and we've got Bob.
You know what? I love the fact that he still uses our old name. You know why?
Yeah.
Because we still have it in our Instagram. So because we can't, you know, Instagram is funny. You can't like change the handle on it. So
it
still stays Great Lake Smoke Show. We graduated in 2023 to the Great Cigar and Pipe Show.
Well, so what I should have done was I should have read the shirt.
Sure. It's late. I know. You haven't drank yet.
Exactly.
We no longer are by the lakes anymore. We're down by the ocean now.
True.
So
I got the names though, right? Jake and John.
Yes, you did. You did. Yes.
Yes.
Jake and Elroy.
Glad to have you guys on. So we're going to talk a little bit about you guys and your show, which I guess now we have a name change.
Yes. Yeah.
So
I do want to point out that, you know, none of you guys are smoking a pipe. So
that's true.
You know. Not at the moment.
Not at the moment.
Hey, I'm just saying, you know,
not at the moment.
You can call you guys
smoke
what you want, but you know, I'd like to see a pipe. Mm-hmm. At least one smoking a pipe and one smoking a cigar.
Next time.
Next time we'll bring the bottle too.
Next time we'll bring a bottle too. We'll come in empty handed.
So what Zach and I are smoking a certain cigar.
Yes.
Tell us about this cigar.
All right. So that cigar actually friend of the podcast and cigar maker, blender, Ishmael
Master
Olivan,
blender.
Yeah, of BAMF Cigars and Rodriguez Olivan Cigar Factory. He blended that cigar for my daughter's wedding last 4th of July. So that cigar now is over a year old, right?
Just
so
a little over a year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was great because Ish is such a great guy. I mean, he's an incredibly talented blender. He's got, I mean, I don't know how many.
Well,
he
blends for 81 people.
Yeah,
80
some
odd now.
Yeah, 80 some odd companies. Yeah. So you know, he knows what he's doing. And I just told him a profile that I wanted. I wanted an easy smoke, something that
straight down the middle.
Straight down the middle.
Everyone at the wedding.
Everyone
can enjoy
at the
it.
Wedding who is a cigar
from the
smoker,
novice,
or even
to the
even somebody
smoker.
Who doesn't smoke.
Yeah.
And we did have people who never smoked pick up the cigar and say, "Wow, this is really good. Thank you. I would have never considered doing this, but since you've given it away for free, I'll do it."
Well, of course.
People like free, you know, so
no,
that's how that worked.
It's very good. It's nice and light up front. And I know you said, you gave me a little teaser. It's going to get stronger.
Exactly.
But it's got really good flavor.
Yep.
I'd say it's light medium in the beginning.
Yep.
Very, very nice.
Yep.
But even as it builds up, it's not like it's going to punch you.
No, you're never going to get smacked.
It's just got more flavor. Yeah. Just be adding to it. It's not going to smack you down or anything.
No,
you know?
And I think that cigar has 7 different tobaccos in it.
Oh, wow.
So
wow.
It's got Dominican, Honduran, Nicaraguan, Brazilian, Italian. The Secco is Italian Secco because I'm Italian. So I figured, you know.
Nice
gotta,
touch.
You got to give a little bit of. So it's nice because, again, He's like, I'll never. He gave me the blend, literally. I have the
recipe,
the secret sauce, as we like to call it. And he says, I'll never use this blend for anyone. It's yours. So, which was really cool.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Limited amount. I mean, I only did like 200, 250 cigars, but.
Just so we can party. Use we can use six out of those seven when we make our next cigar.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, by the way, where are we supposed to look? I don't see the camera.
Right here.
Over there. They're way over there. But yeah, we're used to looking straight ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah, my eyes are right here. It's okay.
Yeah. We look where we're talking to, who we're talking to. But yeah, no, that's how that went. As far as the show goes, I mean, geez, Bob.
What do you want to know?
How did you guys get started? Where did this come from? I know that you have a big team now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was my brother and I. He still does it, actually.
Is your brother's Ron, Bob?
Ron.
He's Bob.
Ron. I'm Bob.
He's retired, Bob. I'm cousin Frank.
a friend of ours owned a radio station in Illinois. And my brother was doing
high school sports.
Yeah, he was commentating, you know, on Sundays at the radio station, and he was enjoying that. And we got to talking one night, and he said, "What do you think? You think there'd be an audience if we did something regarding cigars and pipes and spirits and stuff?" So it was like, "Well, yeah, I think
surely.
So. I mean, yeah. You know, who doesn't smoke and drink?" So we just got into it a little bit, and we approached our buddy and said, "Listen, do you think you'd be interested in putting a show like this on?" He was like, "Do you think you could actually do a show every week like this?" We said, "No problem." And that's how it started. So we got Kyle involved because he's kind of like the tech guy, because he gave us a studio. We walked in. It's like, you know, it's all yours. Well, shit, I know nothing about this. I look at it. It's like, okay, I noticed a microphone, but that's it, you know? So Kyle helped with all the technical stuff, and basically all we did was the first couple of shows. We sat there, the three of us, just, can we say what we want?
Yeah.
We were just bullshitting, you know, and having some fun.
Jared, cut that out.
Yeah.
And then we started bringing in all of our friends, the people in our pipe club, the people at the cigar lounge, and it just kind of grew from there. Unfortunately,
he doesn't even include how the hell I got involved.
Well, no, because you weren't involved then.
I guess I was. I was their special call-in.
Well, you were the calling guy.
I was the calling guy. So I was working on a house that I had on the beach in North Carolina. So every Tuesday night, I would get on and just be that phone in. Hey, what are you doing, Frank? How you guys doing? Who is with you guys? Because, again, it was all radio.
Yeah.
It was just call in, so, which was nice because I could be in my underwear and it wouldn't matter.
Usually you were.
I was
on
usually
the couch. But you weren't in the first couple though.
No.
That's what I'm saying. I was leading up to it. So anyway, well, Frank, we started at towards the tail end of what I'll call our radio show, because we actually had to come off the radio because the FCC doesn't like people talking about tobacco.
Shocked.
No brainer there on this. You know, spirits, tobacco, this is all stuff that is taboo in today's society. So
even though everyone's doing it now.
Exactly.
Like, come on.
Yeah.
So the owner of the station said, listen, and by the way, we were the number one show.
Oh, really?
On their radio station.
And that's why he was like so pissed off. Right? You're the number one show.
Please don't leave.
In no time, you know?
Yeah.
So he said, listen, there's a thing called a podcast. And we were like, what the hell is that? He says, you can talk about anything. There's no regulations. There's no censorship. Say what you want. Do what you want. I was like, okay, that's right up our alley. Mm-hmm. How do we get started? So that was the beginning of it. The humble beginnings was like, let's begin this. And it just kind of grew from there. We had our friends come on, as I said. And then our friends also became people in the industry. So little by little, we started getting people in, and then we got our first sponsor, and it just kind of grew from there.
Yeah.
And so now we have an audience of four. And
how long ago was it when you guys first started?
Five years ago.
2018. Yeah. So it's going to be 6 years in 2024.
Yeah.
And you guys definitely, I've seen every time you post, you know, your coming episode, all the different guests, you guys get a lot of people from the industry. Yeah, like you did. Said, I guess some of them were friends first and then they got in the industry.
Yeah, they became all of a sudden, it's like industry people became kind of almost familial. They became family in a way, as it happens in a cigar lounge, right?
Right.
You're sitting down. All of a sudden, you're with people that you've never seen before. But there isn't, no one has their guard up. Everyone is relaxed. You're in an atmosphere that you can share stories and not worry about who makes the most amount of money. You know,
everybody's
whatever,
the same level.
Whatever yeah. race, creed, it doesn't matter, religion. That all goes through the wayside. And I think that's what our show really epitomizes, is that we're about inviting you into our lounge, which is just the podcast, and hang out with us for an hour and a half. And if it works, great. If we do some fucked up shit in plain English,
which we do every Tuesday.
Better for us. But and it just kind of it just grew organically, really. It was just an organic growth, and it was really fun to watch, and it's great to be a part of, because all of a sudden people wanted to be on, and they were like, guys, can you get us on? And then our schedule is booked out. Like, now we book up for a year.
Wow.
Yeah. So we book out, you know, so it's kind of really interesting, because we're like, oh shit. And then we started doing Thursdays because people all of a sudden,
we can't wait a year.
Well, we'd like to get on. You know. So we're like, yeah, okay, we'll make room. I'll try to, you know, but for me, it's tough because I do all of the artwork. I'm the kind of marketing guy behind it. So it just, there's a lot of it. And I don't, I think that that's something that differentiates us too, in a way, is that we have a certain look, a feel, and that's kind of cool to have.
Yeah.
You know, and we're a bunch of old guys, but now we've recruited some women, which is great, because more and more women started following.
And who doesn't want young women around?
Right. Not only that, I saw on your YouTube, it's, you know, the lady with the gun. That's even better.
Yes, exactly. So she's a, you know, she's a big Second Amendment. She actually does training for she trains women. Clearing the Chamber is her business that she goes and trains women.
She deals with battered women.
She does an amazing job. She really does an amazing job.
She's very cool.
So we really like to surround ourselves with people of like mind, you know. And when we started doing pairings, last year we did it quarterly. And it worked out so well, and people really liked it. And we had a really great chemistry with Joe. And that's Joe Galina. I call him Galina now, which means chicken in Italian. So Joey Chicken, Galino. And he actually writes for the whiskeynetwork.net. So his pairings go into the magazine and it becomes part of their content. So our content becomes their content. It's a great real relationship that we're developing. And we've got some other magazine formatted shows that want to be part of us too. So I think that that's a great thing, is kind of growing in a way that makes sense. And we're still having fun. As long as we have fun.
Yeah. As long as we have fun. Once it stops being
fun then you don't want to do it.
Then
you know?
We pull the plug.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Well, that's why you pick something that you enjoy.
Exactly.
I mean,
exactly.
This could never stop being fun.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think so. Yeah. Until, you know, they raise the taxes on us and we have to spend like $100 on a cigar.
Yeah. Although that's already happening. If you want one of these exotics, I'll call them. But again, not everyone.
Price point.
Yeah, not everyone can afford that.
Right.
But if you can, great. I mean, more power to you. Do I think there's a lot of hype behind that? Probably.
There's plenty of cigars are really overhyped.
Right.
Overpriced.
Oh, yeah. Right. I mean, and that's okay. But isn't that like life?
That's
there's
cool.
so many other things in life that's overpriced. Yeah. But
when it comes to liquor, I mean,
exactly.
Everything,
yeah. I want to pay that because it gives me a certain. It raises my cred amongst my peers. You know, if I'm driving my Lambo, I'm not going to be smoking a, you know, White Owl. Look good.
Yeah.
You know,
well, glancing at my Philippe Petit watch.
Or Petit Philippe.
Philippe Petit.
Philippe.
No, that's a little watch.
Which one's cheaper, the Philippe or the Petit?
That's a good question.
But then you have, of course, like Padron, for example.
Right.
great value.
Oh my God, totally.
$20-$25, no problem.
Always, but that see what's great is Padron, and I'll go back to how I started smoking and when I started smoking cigars. I started probably in the early 90s. So that almost becomes like 40, 30 some odd years ago, right? And it was right at the beginning of the cigar boom. And I started with Padron. And then I would try to venture out at that time. And I was so disappointed with anything else that I tried. So then I became a single lane cigar smoker.
Yeah.
It was the Padron line and Padron only.
That's Jared over there.
Yeah. I mean, that's all I smoked. And it was like almost to the point where.
You got
to
explain the reason for that, too, because during the boom.
Right. There was a lot of.
There was a lot of shit that was coming out.
Yeah. Right? Yeah,
prematurely.
Yeah.
You could still smell the ammonia on it.
Yeah. I mean, we can't have that anymore. No. There's too much competition right now. Exactly.
You can't have that. Not if you want to exist.
We're an educated consumer now.
Right.
People know good. So you can't fool them anymore.
Yeah. I think back then, too, the branding was easy to get away with. Just as long as it looks cool.
Exactly. Look good. That's all
got a nice
needed.
Label. Give them a nice box and they'll buy it. You know?
Yeah. I mean, even with the last 5-10 years, let's just say with coffee, right? Anyone who was drinking whatever coffee was made.
Right.
Now it's
same
like
difference.
Yeah. Now they know, you know, what's good coffee, what's bad coffee. You know, if I'm going to cigar shop, they got illy coffee, I'm going to drink the hell out of it.
Exactly.
You know? I asked for chock full of nuts. Yeah.
And they laugh.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, same thing. You know, now as educated consumers, people are, you know, looking out for that better coffee. They're going the extra mile just to purchase it. And now, you know, cheap coffee is hard to come by. I mean, of course,
regular stuff on the shelf.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the Maxwell Houses that's been around forever. Right?
Yeah.
But that's a kind of like your...
But people
very
want
weak.
Good. I mean, and why not? I mean, hey, you work hard for your money.
Yeah. Especially a product like this. Let's say the average is like $10, $15.
Right. That's an average.
Spending.
That is
that's
the average now.
Yeah. You know, that's a pretty high ticket already for the
especially
average
if you're
person.
Smoking, you know, 4 or 5 a week.
Yeah.
A week. I smoke that a day.
Or a day. You know, I know my daily smoker here. Bob goes through all the cigars. He sees my humidor and says, how the fuck do you have so many cigars? I said, well, I don't smoke 4 cigars a day. So when I average maybe... I probably smoke 5 cigars a week.
Yeah, he says the same exact thing about my humidor. You know, I got a bunch of cigars in there. Then I come to his house. I'm like, where do you go? He's like, no, I smoked them all. I'm like, what do you mean?
I might have 2 left.
Yeah, exactly. It was always really hard for me to age cigars because if I open that humidor, I want to take it out and smoke it.
Yeah.
I'm better now. I got a full humidor. Don't touch it. But now
is
I'm buying more stuff.
Now you buy more.
Yeah, full humidor.
No, he just he bought it at the store, put it in the closet. That's right. It.
But I'm better now. I've got stuff that's aging. I've been doing it for about 2 years now, religiously.
Good. All right.
And then I have another small humidor. That's the stuff
that you're in and out. The in and out humidor.
Yeah, yeah.
What you need
to what do you smoke a day? 2, 3, 4
No, I'm still like 1 a day usually on average.
1.
Okay.
I'm 1 to 2, but I don't smoke every day, so I'll have maybe 2.
Right, so you'll have
average out to 1 a day, let's say.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's about what I do. In a week.
Not all of us are retired, so you know.
Exactly. Not all of us can smoke 4 cigars a day.
Two, 3 hours go by without a cigar. I'm like getting heebie-jeebies. I'm like, I got to have one.
You know, all my coworkers, they smoke cigars, and we were talking about it. We're like, we need to bring, you know, smoking back in the office, right? We need to be able to light a cigar, mellow us out, we'll work harder.
It's true.
You
absolutely.
Know, and then this way.
And a bottle of Monkey Shoulder.
Now
you're definitely working
easy.
Hard.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard to work, I'll tell you that.
And after a good nap.
You know what was, I was telling Bob on the way here, I go, I really like these guys. And he goes, yeah.
You're not talking about us, right?
Yeah, I'm talking about you. I said, yeah, because they kind of are a young version of us. They're kind of like the next gen of cigar smoker and enthusiast and podcasters. So I think it's great that you guys asked us, and we're honored really to be on.
Yes.
Because I think it's good to kind of mix the old and the new. We'll call it.
You have to have new blood, or
it
dies.
Or it dies. Yeah.
Plain
or
and simple. You know?
I mean, we're honored to have you guys on here. But yeah, we've talked about it a bunch of times on the podcast, on our lives and stuff like that. We've seen, you know, we've both been smoking since we've been 18, right? So I'm 24, about to turn 25 now. And we've seen the growth of younger people getting into the cigar industry.
Right.
And it started off as just like something, a celebration happens and, someone buys a box of cigars and they don't know how to cut them. They don't know how to light them. And we were always there to, we're like, whoa, that's crazy because we have our cutter and we have our lighter,
So you're helping them along, right?
Yeah,
all
yeah.
of a sudden, you're kind of inspiring their
love
for the cigar. So, which is really, really cool.
No, it's honestly, amazing just going through that process and seeing more and more younger people get into it. And now, just like the way, we like smoking cigars to relax us, to go into the community, to be honest with you, to be able to bullshit with people, not have to worry about anything. Yeah, because nowadays you go let's just say downtown Orlando or something, or, Tampa, Miami, all these cities, everyone's trying to flex all the time.
Yeah. I mean, that's just society.
Yeah.
Right? Society has been that way. I don't think that ever changes. I think the nice thing about our community, the cigar and pipe smoking community, is that it's a very tight-knit community of people who really do enjoy the freedoms of being able to just do what they want with tobacco that's been around for centuries.
Yeah.
Really. And the minute that becomes kind of almost in harm's way, we respond, right? So we have people in Washington fighting the good fight, and we had a huge win about
Three
a month
weeks
ago.
Ago right?
So yeah, about a
Three
month weeks. Ago. Yeah. So it means something because, again, it's not that this industry is huge, because it's not really, if you think about
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
When you compare it to big tobacco or anything alcohol related.
No, it's minuscule.
Yeah.
In total gross. But the community, I think, is very unique. Outside of all the other type of, I'll call them, communities that are out there, I think the cigar and pipe communities are much more giving of themselves, their time, their experiences. They don't mind sharing that with people. They're not like, oh, I'm not going to tell
people
them.
People want to educate the next guy.
Gatekeeping. You
know? Yeah, gatekeeping.
Well, I'll tell you what. Pretty much everyone that we've had on our podcast, whether they're an owner or a blender, has been very forthgiving with their information, either on the podcast or afterwards talking to us about what they did and how they got started.
Right.
It's a very honest community because, too, it's like, you're going to figure it out eventually regardless.
Yeah.
And if you have something that's like a super secret sauce you might not want to share, that's fine.
Right.
But generally speaking, it's like, hey, this is how I got started. This is what I did. This is what I recommend other people do. And that's just how it is.
Like, yeah, they give you the blueprint. Like, they're not going to tell you each and every step, but they are going to give you the general insight that you should be able to take and forge your own way, because there's so many new cigar makers out there, young folks that are really trailblazing in a way that the industry needs, because the old timers are old, right? they're gonna pass.
Let's put it the way it is.
Yeah,
they're dying off.
So
that's a fact.
You need the young blood out there. You need the guys and gals that are out there now, forging the new path for the industry. I find it interesting because, cigar, alcohol, it's very taboo. You can't advertise like you would normally.
No, you can't.
You can't, right? So you're kind of hamstrung. But what's happened is the community has figured out a way to do it that they can't be stopped. So you have all of these influencers out there.
Right.
And they're really making an impact on sales for their different brands.
Right.
So I think that's really kind of unique.
Yeah.
I just think it's outrageous, though, that we've gotten to this point where tobacco has become like such a sin. Where, 30 years ago, everybody smoked.
Yeah.
Whether it was cigarettes or pipes or cigars, everyone smoked. It was just a natural thing. And you smoked wherever you weren't, whether it was at work or home. And now it's like frowned upon. Even in the street, you walk in the street, in the open air,
in
and
Vegas.
People look at you like, oh, you're
In Vegas,
smoking.
We couldn't even smoke we in the street.
In Vegas.
Really?
You can't smoke a cigar.
Oh, I didn't know that.
You can smoke reefer.
You can smoke pot.
Oh, yeah, they smoke it everywhere. Yeah, they smoke it everywhere.
Yeah, they deliver
it. Like, what the hell are we doing here?
Yeah. It's backwards. It's backwards. It's backwards.
That was the 60s dream.
Well,
man.
It's backwards because it's backed by the government. The government has an agenda with that.
Of course they do. Because they have lobbies
It's ridiculous.
Blind pockets.
Yeah.
Why can't you smoke? And we allowed it to get to this point. Yeah. It's our fault. You know, we should have stopped it back 20 years ago when they started this.
Yeah.
You know, and really, the non-smoker now has all the rights, which is ridiculous. We have rights.
Yeah. I am. I will say, though, I do think that, I mean, I don't know if it's too little too late, but I think that there is starting to become a more clear distinction between cigars and big tobacco, vape, cigarettes, and all that.
All of that.
Because even young people like us, they're like, oh, you know, you smoke cigars. Like, that's kind of cool. And they have a general understanding of it's not cigarettes.
Right.
It's not.
That's good because that word is getting out there as opposed to before. It was like all lumped under.
Well, that's the FDA.
Right.
Who never should have had this in their hands because it's a weed.
It's agricultural product, really. You know,
it is, in the
end.
And they just said, okay, let's lump everything together, which is ridiculous. You can't do that, you know?
No.
So that's what the big battle was. And thank God we won.
Yeah, and then, you know, you'll have bans against any kind of advertising with tobacco,
right?
You know, but then they'll go out and they'll, all over TV, all you hear all day is, oh, go try this new medicine. Ask your doctor to prescribe this medicine.
And the side effects. The list of side effects.
Worse than what you got.
Which cigars will give you none of that.
No, it won't.
And it's a known fact that as far as stress relief, cigar smoking is probably one of the best things you can do because you don't see anybody who's stressed out who's smoking a cigar.
You can't. That's true.
You can't.
And you don't have to have a script for it.
That's right. You don't have a script. Yeah. No, you don't. You don't.
I mean, even Steve Harvey was talking about it. He's like, if I didn't smoke a cigar every day, you know, he's like, you know how stressed out I would be?
And exactly.
He's not wrong. You know, the more, I mean, recently, you know, going in, you know, starting a full-time job and then, you know, I'm in my graduate program too at UCF. Like, I've been starting to smoke a little less just because I haven't had time here and there. And it's like, I've been more stressed out.
That's it.
So I'm like, I need to start smoking again.
That's evidence right there.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
it lays it out pretty clearly. This road that we're on, tobacco road, we'll call it, because that's truly what it is. That journey, I think, will continue throughout time. It's never going to be stopped, folks. It can't be.
They try to do it with alcohol.
Yeah, and that.
And look what happened.
And that ended pretty.
Gave rise to a bunch of other things.
That's right. all of a sudden, you'll have the criminal empire.
Exactly. That's how that really started.
So no, it's good. I mean,
the future is safe.
Our future is safe.
It doesn't harm anybody else. No. It doesn't harm us either.
Yeah.
So why not? Right? That's the way I look at it. I've been smoking since I was 15. So.
And now he's 115. And now 100. That's 100 years under his belt.
No, but even, you know, in Europe, like cigarettes over there, they have, you know, way less chemicals than they do here.
It's more natural tobacco in the cigarette.
It's almost 100% tobacco. Right. You know, I mean, it's very close to it. But, of course, there are, you know,
it
some
depends
stuff
on the brand,
there.
Too. Brands. You know, right. There's a lot of brands that actually will say, no, it's only tobacco.
Right.
So it's basically a cigarillo at that point.
No, additives.
I really think in America, like the future to come is going to be that transition into, you know, like even big tobacco, cigarette companies going more towards, you know, more natural cigarettes than, you know, keep pushing out what they're pushing. That's super addictive.
Right.
They're going to have to. I mean, because eventually.
That'll die.
It's going to have to.
Well, they're already selling. The fields, most of them have. Converted to just making pot, selling, you know, growing pot. I mean, that's a reality.
Yeah,
that's where big money is now. You know,
I mean, what John Morgan I think has the most farms, like pot farms in Florida.
Really?
Yeah, that's why he was a big push for it about making it medical in the state of Florida.
Well, you know, because he said it was for his brother.
Is that
he
really
liked,
and Morgan?
Yeah. He'd really like to see, you know, the medical use for it. But of course, once that gets passed, why not push for the next step?
Yeah, the next step is going to be recreation.
It's not mine, officer. It's my brother's.
No, that's the truth. That's the truth.
Yeah.
No.
But yeah, I think, I mean, to your point, the government just needs to learn to let things happen.
Right.
Every time they meddle with something, it gets worse.
Get out of the way.
Keep out of our business.
Uh-huh.
But then, you know the presidents are smoking cigars in the Oval Office. Oh, yeah. You know what I mean?
Well, you know they're doing even more than that.
Well, I know.
What did Kennedy do?
Kennedy
we had the Bay of Pigs.
Yeah, he bought a bunch of Cubans.
He sent a plane to Cuba and said, get me all the Cuban cigars you can get because we're not going to get these anymore. First thing.
Yes. Hey, something's coming up. You know, go get me all these cigars. All right. Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, no problem.
As soon as it lands. Yeah, okay. So we're going to start an embargo on Cuba.
Nobody else can have them.
Yeah, no. Only us. Me.
Yeah.
That's one thing that you know the White House has probably a beautiful humidor with the most amazing cigars in there. That's one thing.
I'm sure. Pre-embargo. They've got it.
Yeah. They have to. There's no way they don't. And if I could ever see that in my lifetime, that would... I think that'd be the end of your lifetime. Yeah, I know. Yeah, that'd be it.
And probably, the only person who didn't smoke any of them would be Trump.
No, Trump doesn't smoke at all.
Doesn't drink.
He's the cleanest president I think we've ever had that we know of when it comes to vices.
Right, yeah.
I mean, maybe women might have been a vice. Okay.
Sure.
I guess when it comes to substance. Yeah, you go. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, don't forget, he had a brother who died
from
drugs and alcohol. That turned him off. He just never did it.
No, I mean, I don't blame him. I respect him for it.
I do, too.
You know, that is crazy to think about how, he's never taken a drink of alcohol.
Nope.
You know, he doesn't smoke, doesn't do nothing.
It's incredible, actually.
It's wild. So, you know what's interesting? I don't know if anybody knows this, but the first time we met you guys was at Corona Cigar Company here in Heathrow, and you guys were giving us a cigar, first and foremost. So, and now you gave it to us again. So we're smoking
the
basic.
One, yeah.
Yes,
it's a nice cigar.
Beautiful cigar. It was good the first time, and it's good again. So obviously, production-wise, you're doing the right thing. How is the cigar doing overall for you when you created this, and what is that journey been like for both of you?
So it's only been a year
since
we officially started. Around the time that we got to get to know you guys, we were just starting. We had the old band at that time.
Yes.
So you got to try you saw the first band.
The Primo brand.
The Primo, yeah. Yes. So, we've had a really good first year, getting into a bunch of different shops, and direct to consumer has actually been really good.
Oh, good.
So that's helped us, get to the next level and start preparing for the next journey.
And you're doing that direct as far as via your website or?
Via the website, yeah. So and then events too.
Did you have to get a license to do so in order to sell the cigars directly from the website?
Yeah.
Or do you have like a middleman?
No, so we have our own license.
Okay.
We did all the licensing ourselves. Honestly, the most painful part of that was
the paperwork.
The payment. Well,
I thought you were going to say the money.
The money.
Kind of. So the licensing itself is very cheap.
Oh, okay.
But the payment processing was a problem.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's tobacco, it's considered a high risk transaction. So that would be alcohol, tobacco.
Right.
So you can't use like Square, for example.
Oh, Square.
Or PayPal. They won't let you do it online.
Yeah. So the issue.
Take Visa. MasterCard,
right.
American Express.
Yeah. So the issue has to do with actually just it being online, right? Because if you're selling a cigar, if a person didn't like it, you know what? They're going to fraud it out, right? So they expect you to get more frauds on, or them claiming, I never went there. Or, I never purchased that, whatever.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. So they account that into the price of payment processing.
Oh, really? So wow. They jack up the payment.
So they price. Jack up the price.
So you
yeah.
got like instead of paying, let's just say 3%. Or
yeah, you're going to be paying like 7%.
The percentages per transaction are around the same, but they charge you
like a surcharge,
a fee every year.
Yeah.
It's like a $500 fee for MasterCard and I think a $500 fee for Visa or something.
So
like
it's kind of like the cover their ass
yeah.
fee.
Yeah, just in case, people
somebody
start
says,
claiming
hey,
stuff.
Yeah, this was no good. This was fraudulent. This was no good.
And plus, they could say they never got it, right? It shipped to my house. They could have smoked it. I had the best time in the world. They call up, I never got the shipment, tracking, having priority shipping.
Keeping all of those receipts.
Exactly,
is key, too, for you guys.
Yeah, and we've had
It's their insurance.
Right? Yeah, it is. Yeah.
It's an insurance policy. That's what it is.
We've had one guy claim that he never got his cigars. I don't 100% believe it because if you go to the tracking number, it was delivered to the mailbox. So, I mean, anything could have happened. Who knows? We gave him another.
They could have put it in the wrong mailbox.
That's possible.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Somebody could have stolen it.
Yeah,
gotta give him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, so yeah, we just shipped out another one to him. He was happy. You know, he got it next day.
And he's a repeat customer.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's got to make people happy.
I mean, that's cool. That's interesting because, yeah, I wondered how
that worked out. Hey, theft has got to be put into the equation.
Yeah.
You always have that problem, you know?
Yeah. And we're big. We'd rather, you know, if someone has an issue, rather than contact us directly first before just calling their credit card and being and finding it out.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Right.
This way, it's like we take care of it. You know, everything looks good on paper. They're happy. We're happy.
Exactly.
That and two, you know, I think one bad review holds more weight than like 100 good reviews.
Oh, yeah.
True. So I'd rather
people only remember
that.
The bad
no,
stuff.
No, they only
That's
remember
a fact
the bad
in anything.
Yeah. Yeah, they only remember the bad
so
stuff.
So who's the actual person who decided this is the blend?
So
all three of us, actually. Yeah,
yeah, pretty much. So we had four different variations of this blend that we were trying to go after.
So you they discounted. You're the fourth guy, right?
Yeah, he wasn't around at this time.
He wasn't around back then.
He's the new guy, so we're going to work on some other projects with him.
There we go.
But so we got, you know, four different variations of this blend that we were trying to go after. And there was two that we were like, nah, it's not good enough. And then there were two that were put up against each other that we were trying to decide between.
Right.
And we came down to this one. They were very similar, but this one seemed like it was going to be that blend.
Right. And I'm sure you guys did the whole blind... No band.
Yeah, there was no band or nothing. We had numbers, one
had
through
numbers,
four,
right,
and that's it. And one thing that we told like the master blender too is we were really big on like key things, construction, of course,
right,
because you don't want a cigar to be ashing all over you.
Oh, exactly.
And which one of them did? One of our samples that we had did
just wouldn't hold
and,
ash.
Yeah, and
it was the wrapper that it had.
Oh, okay.
That was part of it, but yeah. I think the wrapper and maybe the binder too. It was just really flaky.
Gotcha.
So that one was one of the ones we were like,
yeah, it's
know.
A no-go.
Gotcha.
But yeah, we were big on construction, smoke output, and then we wanted
a good draw
and a medium body, you know, cigar. We want
something for everybody.
Yeah, just like this, something for everyone. Whether you're a first-time smoker, you're like, oh, this might be a little strong, but I could do it. It tastes good.
Exactly.
And then, you know, if you smoke 2-3 a day, you'll be like, okay, this is a milder cigar for me, but it still tastes good.
Right.
That's why, you know, with that, you got a little bit of pepper in there.
Yep.
You know, just for the flavor. Then you got some cedar, some hazelnut for the smoothness.
Yeah, it's got nice notes. Very cocoa.
Nice
too.
On the retro hill.
I get a lot of that cocoa for sure, especially down here.
That's one cigar where I could just inhale and then retrohale it without
I've been retrohaling this the whole time.
It's very smooth. It's easy to retrohale.
Yeah,
I think it's a great cigar for people that are trying to retrohale.
Mm-hmm.
This is definitely one of those that's very smooth. It won't kick you in the back of the throat or anything like that.
No. It gives you a lot of baking spices.
So how many boxes have you made?
I think boxes were definitely close to 1,000 boxes, I think.
Nice.
Oh,
good for
I think,
good.
Yeah. It's
excellent.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Good. Excellent. In a year, you know, for coming out of the gate with no track record.
Oh, that's terrific.
You know, good for you. Good
How
for you.
How many
guys.
Lounges have you gotten them into?
I think officially we're in about 8 lounges.
Okay.
Yep. Excellent.
And then we just got one in Michigan.
Oh, good.
So that was our most recent one. And it's actually this Albanian guy owns it.
Oh, okay.
So he was very excited to see.
Well, that's another tight knit community, right?
It is.
You have
an
Albanian community. So I'm sure stretching and putting your tentacles out, that will help you get some national and international.
Yeah.
If you can, because of course,
yeah, so
the international market is big.
Yeah. We've actually shipped to, you know, the countries that allow it. Some people in Europe, you know,
good.
Switzerland,
excellent.
Albania, you know, because it's all Albanians that are buying it. They see it. They see the story.
Right.
You know, and they want to show their friends and everything. And I mean, even with the guy in Michigan that he just picked us up, we actually just sent his first order out. His like cousin, you know, one of his cousins gifted him our cigar. He saw our cigar somewhere.
Cool it is?
He gifted it to him. Yeah. And then he
actually,
places
so
an
what
order.
Happened is we sent him samples. Donnie, we sent him samples. His cousin tried it and he was the one that was like, we need to get this.
Oh,
yeah.
But yeah. And then, when he placed an order, we called, you know, we have the phone number. So we called him personally. We were like, hey, you know, I see you put in your business a cigar lounge. Are you interested in us? He's like, yeah, my cousin wanted me to try it. He's like, so I'm buying a box right now. I'm going to try it. And then, you know, we'll see where it goes. I'm like, okay, cool. Awesome. So we sent it out. We just contacted them again, you know, about a few weeks later. Just give them time.
Right, exactly. You know, try to sit on it because people need time.
Of course. Yeah especially with cigars, you know. You smoke one, you're like, okay, that was good. You kind of leave, you go back. So, right away, as soon as I text him, he's like, yeah, I definitely want it. Let's talk tomorrow about it. Perfect. And then just got it.
So for our first year, too, I mean, we really focused on getting in our local lounges.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
Easy to manage that way. Right. And then pushing direct to consumer because there's more money in that. So now we're really pushing for a more nationwide campaign. So we're setting up meetings with some people. Right now, we're focusing on the Northeast area because we'll be up there by the end of the month. So some New York, New Jersey.
Very large. So we're going to take population.
Yeah. Half of them are my cousins. So
right. There you go. And cousins.
Where? Brighton Beach area?
We got people everywhere, so don't worry.
That's true. Yeah, no, it's always good to. And like you said, the story behind the cigar. I think that is truly one of the things about cigar smoking is that you're not just smoking a cigar, you're smoking a part of history every time, because I love history. I do a whole thing on our show, which is Stump the Chooch, and to learn a little bit about what made that cigar important to that blender, it's kind of like an extension of that person.
Yeah.
So it's so cool and so interesting to find out the story behind the name of that cigar, because it's kind of important to give your baby a name. It's like a child, right?
It is, yeah, of course.
That's their child. That's their children. So I always find it very interesting, the stories behind the cigars, because I think they also help sell the cigar.
Exactly. Yeah. There's more of a connection, too.
Yes.
Than besides just, you know, the Don whatever cigar. You know,
exactly.
Like it's got a name. What's the story? Yeah, you know, it's a good cigar.
Yeah, I mean, even, you know, like with Besa, right? Besa translated, you know, from Albanian to English is like an oath or an honor to your country, you know, to your family, to, you know, your friends, your people, everyone.
Right.
And I think that's one thing that really goes hand in hand with, you know, the cigar community is they're, you know, they're loyal, they're friends, you know, they'll do anything for their friends, for their family, they're tight knit, you know. So I think when we chose a name, it ended up just being, you know, perfect match.
Yeah, it was perfect. Yeah. It was perfect.
In Italian, we call it a Cosa Nostra.
You know, we had Italian restaurants our whole life, so I feel like I should have known.
Yeah, we went to them too. We went to Giovanni's, his uncle.
And then we told him we're Albanian.
But going back to you guys, because I guess it's easier for me to ask questions of you than it is.
No, of course, yeah.
But it's their show. You know, they're supposed to be asking us, and we're kind of taking it over.
I prefer if you guys ask me questions.
Yeah. We do the back and forth over here.
So how did you two meet? Like, where? Was it in school or?
So we met in high school. We actually got real close as soon as we graduated high school. But I think probably when we kind of found out about each other, we both had government together. Right. Okay. And we had this was right during the Trump election. And, you know,
that was an interesting
time. It was a very interesting
time.
The first election.
So, yeah, we had AP U.S. government, and our teacher at the school, you know, he said he was very moderate. You know, all of his friends were Republicans, but he was moderate, left leaning, this and that, whatever. And we're all talking about who's going to win. We did like a mock, you know, election, you know, this and that. And then election day comes, right? He's like, all right, who do you guys think is going to win? And Alex and I were both wearing our Trump t-shirts. You know,
the obvious choice.
We rose our hands.
Hat and everything.
And he probably laughed.
Yeah, he's like, oh, you know.
He said he has a 2% chance of winning, you know, if you look at the polls
Yeah, so I think that was really the moment that we kind of found out about each other, connected a little bit. But we still, you know, we had our own friend group, so it was like we never really got close.
Right.
And then after we graduated, I think it was your birthday, or it was
right before my birthday.
Right before, he texted me and he's like, "Hey, do you want to go grab a cigar?" I'm like, "Yeah, sure. Where at?" Now I had never smoked a cigar before, and I'm like, "Yeah, you know, that's fine." He's like, "Yeah, we'll go to Corona Cigars." I'm like, "Okay." So we go over there, you know, smoke a cigar. Then he invites me to his house, and then we smoked a cigar there. And then, you know, the next thing you know, anytime he went to Corona, I went to Corona. And it was
it
funny.
It became a ritual.
It did. And I thought it was the funniest thing. I start going in and, you know, all the, you know, all the guys over there were cool with all of them,
exactly.
You know.
Yeah.
So he's like, one of the workers, I forgot who it was, they don't work there anymore, but he's like, oh man, you're starting to come in a lot. I'm like, no, I only come in without when Alex comes in. You know, and he's like, yeah, but Alex is here every day. And I'm like,
I'm coming in a lot.
Yeah. That was the moment I realized that I like cigars too. I'm not just coming, you know, to hang out with Alex.
Yeah. That's good. That's awesome. That's awesome. I think that's all of a sudden two of you had poli sci in common. Now all of a sudden, this is something that kind of
brings people together. It's incredible.
You can't escape now.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Now I can't escape now. This. Yeah. Anytime I try leaving, it's like, you know, I get stressed out. You know, I'm like, oh, I gotta go back.
And then he dragged his brother into it.
Yeah.
Now we got him. I know.
We got Mark into whiskeys, you know, cigars, the whole thing. And I remember he used to only drink gin, right? And Mark, you could butt in anytime you want. But he used to only drink gin. And when we started bringing him to the cigar lounge, you know, he's like, you know what? Maybe I kind of do want to try whiskey. So I was always big on, you know, if you're trying to get someone into whiskeys that doesn't like whiskey, right? Start them off with Japanese whiskey. I think it's smooth, it's lighter. Yeah, so you get a little bit of flavor, but it's not harsh. So that's the way we started them. I think do you remember what we told you to get?
I think it was Hibiki.
Hibiki Harmony. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Excellent. Do you still drink gin now or?
Yeah, I still drink gin.
Every once in a while.
Gin and tonic, maybe, when it's hot out.
I drink gin straight with ice.
Yeah, nice.
Ooh. Ooh.
Yeah.
we haven't broken him completely.
No, you haven't.
Wow.
See, I like gin too, but yeah. Gin and tonic when it's cold out. When it's hot out. Yeah.
That's as far as I can go.
It's great.
And vodka, I can't even get past my nose. That's rubbing alcohol.
Yep, I am not a vodka guy. Yeah.
It's true. I used to drink vodka, but now the brown stuff is really my
whiskey, man. Just give me my whiskey. Yeah.
That's it.
I think what's funny too is this is actually when we first found out about you guys was the Hefe event in Sanford.
Okay, yes.
That one you guys set up a little tent there.
Yeah.
I think a guy kind of next to your tent, he was doing ranch water.
Oh yeah, yeah. He
we had whiskey guys on both sides.
Yeah. So somewhere over there, they had a ranch water in a keg.
In a keg. Yeah. Keg, yes. So he pre-made ranch waters, you know, and then kegged them up and he would just, you know, give them out to everyone. That's tequila.
Tequila.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah, tequila.
We had the people to our left, if you're facing. What whiskey was that?
I don't know.
They were from upstate New York.
We had the guys to our right. We had
on both sides. We had, but the people to our left, they were from New York, upstate. They were making the whiskey.
No, that was to our right. Bob forgets.
Facing
his right, your left.
They were to our left.
She was really Tiffany, and
she
was right.
Wiped out. Yeah. She was. She couldn't even walk.
It's a really good whiskey.
I have a few bottles at home.
Yeah. And I forgot now.
I forgot.
See, don't get old.
But they were just giving it to us all day long. And it was 100 degrees out, man. When we left, we were like paralyzed.
Oh, we were wiped out.
Yeah, I remember walking around. It was a hot day.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have some whiskey, a little tequila. We went to that mobile lounge that those guys set up. There was a mobile lounge there
as well.
We're sitting in there like taking another hour break, you know, before we go home.
I know.
It feels like a long day.
It's tough to do those street events.
Yeah. Actually, Cordova and Morales was there. Z was there with his wife, and she was pregnant at the time, I think. He's another great blender.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Great guy.
Great guy. Yeah. Cool story, too. But yeah, we like doing events. I think for us, doing events are part of what really makes it fun for us. Doing PCA, doing the Heritage Festival, going and being part of that is really where you get a chance to meet people. And even though we're working, you're still having a great time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
you can't work too hard when you're in the cigar industry.
No, it's not really work. I wouldn't call it work. It's more like, you know, calculated fun.
Yeah.
You know, that's really what it is. That's what it's
more. Muck shoulder.
Yeah. We might need more. Twist his arm, Bob. I'll let you pour.
Go ahead, pour. No, I don't want to be greedy.
Pour, no, pour as much as you want.
I can't pour left-handed. I'm not good
it's
at
only
that.
A $30 bottle. You
That's
know?
It. Yeah, yeah.
No, but yeah, even we flew up to New York for an Albanian festival, mm-hmm. and they allowed us to sell cigars
oh,
over there.
Oh, awesome.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it was amazing.
I think that was our best event, actually.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
You know, and we had a great setup over there, you know.
We had guys coming up, you know, checking it out, and he'd be like, hey, pull out a wad of cash, give me two boxes. Like, you know, so.
Without even trying them.
No. Yeah, without trying them. I mean, they saw the label. They saw the band. They're like, all right, let's do it. So, I mean, I think that was like 90% cash sales at that one.
Wow. Yeah. That's the best kind.
I know. Yeah, of course.
And of course, no one has to know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was only like $100 at the end of the day.
we definitely reported all the $150 at the end
of
the day.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. It wasn't that big. The sales were low just in case.
Well, you know, they're Albanian, so we have to give away a lot, you know.
Exactly.
So
that's right. A lot of freebies.
But yeah, it was a fantastic event. And I mean, yeah, we had such a great time over it. We actually did it. It was in the Bronx. It was at the Jacoby Hospital over there.
Oh, nice.
They have a convention center.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Very cool. That's where they did the event. And then, I mean, was it
inside, outside, or
it
both?
Was inside. So
we were a little confused at first what the event was about, because we got there and it ended up being like a play that students of all ages were doing. So we're like, okay, I mean, we showed up, I guess it's a play, because we thought it was like more of a music.
Parents will be there.
And they let you bring the cigars in.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah.
That's surprising.
Because we thought it was a music festival. I think with the translation, it got a little confusing on what exactly
was. What kind of music? It was a musical.
So it was actually ran by an Albanian church over there.
Cool.
And what they do is they have different age groups dancing like traditional Albanian.
Gotcha.
They're dressed up. Yeah. So they're dressed up. So they have everywhere from, you know, like first graders all the way up to high schoolers, adults. That's how it went through everyone dancing and how the traditional dances are and stuff. Of course we gave a portion of like our proceeds
to the church,
you know, as a Catholic church.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was fantastic. They were fantastic. I mean, they said they'd love to have us again, when they do it. And I'm like, yeah, sure. That'd be
perfect.
Great. Yeah.
Gives you a good reason to go back up? North.
Yeah.
It should be. I think it was like
year.
November.
Yeah. November. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, events, I think, are what we love doing.
It's fun.
The next thing that we did last year, which was a lot of fun, was our first visit to the J.C. Newman Cigar Factory.
Mm-hmm.
And we did a rolling class, and then we interviewed Drew and Sydney there. That was just amazing. Just the history.
Did you guys ever go there?
Not yet. That's on our list for
that
sure.
That is
a very
special place.
It really is.
Yeah, talk to Sydney. I'll hook you up with Sydney. She's great. Drew is great. What a fantastic cigar family there. Talk about history.
And, and the building itself.
Oh,
I mean, it's
magnificent.
They renovated the whole building, so it's really beautiful.
Yeah.
Amazing. You know? And now they did work outside. It's just.
And they actually have in the basement a bale of pre-embargo.
Oh, wow. One bale.
They're the only people left who have it.
Nobody has it in the world.
It's sealed in the, what is that?
It's in burlap.
Burlap.
Yeah.
A bale of it. It's sitting in the basement there. It says, you know, Cuban tobacco on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very cool.
That's amazing.
Cool. It was cool. It was funny because you could see at some point somebody reached into that.
And took some out.
And they were trying to blame the mice. And they had to sew up the bag because the bale because somebody...
Yeah, the mice came in with knives and just made a precise cut.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's one of the Newmans that went in there and probably took a little handful. But it was a great place.
I mean, you can spend the whole day there.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
And the rolling class was wonderful. I mean, they're always rolling.
Yeah, they roll all day long. Yeah.
So their rollers came in and helped us, and they showed us how to roll and everything. Just a lot of fun. You guys got to do it.
Yeah. We're going back there in November again. And this time they've created a tasting class. So you go in there and they'll create fumas out of the different. So it's kind of like not a blending, but more tasting individual leaves that they'll have.
Kind of like what we did last night.
Yeah, like what we did last night with the blending 101 that Miguel in Daytona Another nice guy.
Catch our show last night, buddy.
It's a
not the last night.
Great.
One,
the blending. Yeah, go back. It's a lot of fun.
It was just terrific.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just to taste each individual leaf and the combinations that he made with these leaves. It was amazing. Oh, it really was.
I mean, the smell was just to die for.
I think you and Mark kind of did an event where you tasted. Or maybe it was just
it.
You.
It was me, yeah. So, okay, yeah. Aganorsa leaf.
Yeah.
They
were
at Corona doing it.
Yeah.
And I talked to him. He was like, oh, yeah.
Terrence.
You can, yeah, Terrence. He let me sit in and do it with them. So then we just did an episode afterwards talking about it.
It's great.
It's a cool experience for sure because you get the one leaf and it just tastes like salty. You get another leaf and it tastes more like,
sweet,
you know,
sweeter.
Or you know, cocoa, something like that, and mix them together. And basically you're starting to taste a full cigar.
Yeah, you're starting to get to that where you want to be.
Right.
So that's.
But also, this is a way of knowing or leading up to your knowledge of where it is that you like a cigar to be.
Yeah.
You know, when you get that, you open up that package of a specific leaf and just smell it. You say, oh, yeah, okay, now I know what that smell is and that leaf. And then when you smoke this, that leaf.
Totally different.
Oh, okay. Now I know why a cigar tastes like that and this cigar tastes like, you know, the other thing and so forth. It was very, very cool. A real education last night.
Yeah, big time.
I loved last night's
event. It was really good. I enjoyed it tremendously. But, you know, moving from that, I think next year, stuff that we're going to be doing that I think is going to be really exciting is we're planning on taking a trip to the Dominican. And probably everybody's asking, all of our manufacturers, like, well, if you come here, you got to come here, you got to come here. We probably have to make 2 weeks at
least. Right.
Probably.
So,
but Ish,
we'll
Ish was kind enough to invite us to his farm.
Yeah.
And we're going to start there. And he's going to take us around to all the other places.
Yeah. So we'll go see. We're going to Nicaragua. We'll go see Luciano. So, and that's AJ Fernandez as well. Mm-hmm. We'll be out there. So I think that'll be really fun and interesting for us to actually be in the fields with the tobacco, which we've never been other than Claremont. But it'll
watch the whole process.
Let's see the whole
from
process.
From seeds in the ground to you smoking that cigar.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never seen all of that. You know?
Right.
So it's going to be really cool.
Yeah. And who would have thought, like, I know for myself, I never would have thought we would have gotten to this point where we're able to do something like that, you know, and we're blessed truly with great sponsors.
Yeah.
I have to say that, we wouldn't be able to do half the things that we can do without them. The show is kind of silly at times, informative always, but I think what we do is we let our sponsors have a way. It gives them a way to kind of connect to a segment of their consumer that they probably never thought that would kind of happen.
Yeah.
So I think we surprised a lot of people. Because from where we started to where we are now, it's just a different show. We've evolved and we've gotten better.
Well, I think that's why shows like ours do really good, is because it's not just the informative aspect, but it's also more entertaining and educational and unique. And it's not just sitting here and saying, you know, this is this cigar. It's got this and this.
Yeah.
We go off the rails.
No, yeah, exactly. You have to go off.
And you know how many have gone because of that?
You know, podcasts come and go. And I'm never want to say, oh, we're the best show out there, you know. For some of the viewers, we may be.
Right.
I'm happy that we can say that we are for them. But ultimately, as long as we feel like we're delivering a good product to them, we're happy. You know, in the end, we want them to be able to sit down, have a lot of laughs, and maybe learn something along the way. So that's where we've been kind of blessed, really.
Right.
We really have been. And it is our sponsors that have given us that opportunity do so. Because I don't think we would have ever been able to do this and got as much without them. Because we're not like wealthy people. Yeah, we're not millionaires that we can go out and just give shit away every week. We're fortunate that we do have sponsors and guests who are willing to share their products with our audience. And it makes it special, I think. I find it because a lot of times I like peek into other podcasts and especially when they're live, right? Because we're a live podcast where I think it makes us really interesting, where I look at live numbers. Who's sitting with you in the moment? Because it's there where you can truly kind of gauge where your audience is. And we have people anywhere between 20 and 25 people always with us. And if we have somebody who's...
And they're the same people. It's consistent. You know, they're consistent. I mean, they love the show. They're constantly writing to us.
They
want to
make sure. And then they're bringing... And now we're seeing all these new people. And we're like, wow, we're reaching some new demographics. More women are watching.
Yeah.
And I think it's because we're having more women on, too. And we're not only as guests...
Don't try to copy us.
No women. You can't bring any women on. Yeah. No one. You can't bring like Melanie Cisco in. You can't do any of that.
Are you writing that down?
It's funny because
Put an ad out.
We met with Melanie a few years ago. Probably 3 years ago is when we met Melanie. Yeah. And we met her over at a smoke-in event. It was
I don't remember where, but yeah, whatever.
It was in South and it was cool because she had a chance to meet us, and now we've become friends. Like, so she'll like our stuff, and you know, everybody knows who Melanie is.
Yeah,
anybody who's in the cigar business. I mean, she's the Fuente gal, and more.
Right,
she's promoting as many products as I don't know. I can't even count
whiskeys you know,
and
everything
of different things. But it's that, like I said, it's connecting to people that we would have never connected with. But we have, so it's been cool.
Yeah.
It's a nice ride so far.
Yeah, it's not bad. I can tell you, it's not bad. It hasn't been bad.
I know, we go live on TikTok quite a bit. And yeah, same thing. We have probably a group of 10 people that are regulars all the time. They're always commenting, what are you smoking, this and that. And, you know, we always just shoot the shit with them. But yeah, and, you know, constantly we've been seeing a lot more people come in. Even we have some women that watch us too.
And that's, you know, the great thing is,
well, we don't do TikTok, but a few times we've gone on 150, 500 people.
And you're like, what the fuck are these people? And we're there for like 3 minutes.
We have a show in a half hour. Come on that show. Yeah.
Watch us over there. I don't know. TikTok is like very frenetic. Yeah. It's just, it's like really like high
energy, and people are all in and out.
There's like 3 seconds and you're gone.
Yeah.
So if you don't say something intelligent or completely, well,
whatever it is, grab it could be the most stupidest thing. Or, you know,
if you're not showing a half naked breast or whatever, which I don't think we're going to be doing, you won't get a view longer than that.
Yeah.
But it's cool. What we're doing too for next year, that'll be interesting. And it's something that we kind of worked
don't
on.
Tell them everything. Come on.
You got to give them a heads up at least. Well, you know, everybody does cigar reviews, right?
Yeah,
everybody does them. They'll take a cigar, give you the full pre-inspection,
the standard 92, 91,
90, 90, 89, 87, 91, 2, 3. And we thought about this. We're like, we're not a 91, 92 type of person. We're going to just discuss a cigar for what it is.
Yeah.
Right. And we said, well, we're going to come up with our own rating system. It's going to be a 1 to 5 rating system, and it's going to be based on characters and caricatures of people in history, since we do the Chooch. So
humorous.
Yeah, yeah. And these are going to be caricatures of, like, a, for instance, Winston Churchill, or a
Groucho Marx,
George Burns. And we'll rate cigars based on their what we think would have been
what their character kind
of took. So if it's Mark Twain, he's going to have a different look. Or if it's Ernest Hemingway, he's going to have a different feel. Or if we're going to bring in Michelangelo, it's going to be from an artistic standpoint, or Galileo. So we're going to do some things. You're going to see. It's going to be very, very interesting. And it will probably be a little segment, little shorts that we'll do.
Yeah.
And we'll just put them up into the universe and see where it takes us.
See, that's crazy because, you know, you say you're going to do that within a year. We're going to do that within 6 months.
But actually, you have to contact the patent office.
Oh, yeah. Too much work.
Well, we started actually, I think it was Mark's idea, is he would do the one puff cigar review, and it was modeled after Dave Portnoy when he would do the one white pizza.
Yeah.
So it'd be more of a funny thing. It'd be a short TikTok. It'd be like, all right, guys, I'm smoking the base of cigar. We're going to do, you know, one puff. Everybody knows the rules. And he'll take like 5 puffs.
Right.
And then they'd be like, yeah, so, you know, it's smooth. It's real quick notes.
Right.
You know, 10 out of 10, whatever it is.
Right.
you know.
Right.
So that
right.
was like our little twist on it.
Exactly. And I think that that's, I think, where we're headed, what we're thinking about moving forward, and just continue to bring some interesting stories and great people to everyone out there who's willing to listen to us or, or to put up with us, really.
Like I said, there's so many podcasts. People don't want to see the same thing.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, you gotta bring something new to the table. And it's got to be fun.
Yeah.
It does.
Fun. It does.
For sure. You
know? It does. It's, if it's not, it's going to fall off the wayside. Yeah. And we try to make it fun each and every time we do it.
Yeah. I mean, you know what it is? It's people are on devices all day, right?
Yep.
You're on a computer at work all day. Yep. You're on your phone talking to people, whatever. So when they're watching something, they're listening to something, they need it to be fun.
They
you
do.
Know, and yeah, it's not even a one at that point. They need something to calm their mind down, to laugh at, to, you know, just to be able to relax, listen to it, laugh. And yeah, that's why, you know, the podcasts that are 100% formative 100% of the time, you know, usually don't make it.
Right.
You know, because you got to have jokes. You got to, you know, we like one of our key jokes we talk about is we make fun of flavored cigars.
Right.
Right.
And well, that is a joke.
Well, I know. So,
and there is a huge segment of the population
who does
that
like it.
Love flavored cigars.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, let's face it.
Do you know how you flavor a cigar?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, put in some whiskey.
Yeah. You know, you look at whiskey glass.
A company like Drew Estate. I mean, their money train was built on acid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Think about it. I mean, that's the number one selling cigar in the world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it means that there are people out there that that's what they want to smoke.
Yeah.
So they stay in their lane, right? And I think as a manufacturer, you need to do what's makes your product stand out, and that's what they do best. They're great at it. I mean, Jonathan is a marketing genius.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about the marketing. I don't even know if Jonathan Drew smokes cigars anymore.
He doesn't smoke anymore. I really don't think so. No.
I think he stopped smoking cigars years ago.
Yep.
He focuses on marketing. Hey, let's face it. Nobody does swag like Drew Estate.
Oh, yeah.
They've got the best.
Yeah, they're crazy.
Right? They're crazy. I mean, and they're giveaways and
shit. Well,
they
got the money.
Yeah, they got the money, right? Yeah. I mean, they're giving away motorcycles. They're giving away.
They've always got the biggest PCA booth. Oh,
yeah.
Craziest.
Yeah, they're giving away cryptocurrency. I mean, these are crazy
things. Lounges, small lounges. You know,
they have the bridge.
The building.
The Brooklyn Bridge.
It's like, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, Drew Estate's here.
Yeah, so you know. So there's a success there, right? And they're playing to their audience.
Yeah.
So that's the key. And as a manufacturer, I think all the manufacturers can learn from that model, because play to your strengths and don't worry about anything else. Just do what you do and do it really well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you will be successful. Just do it, you know, and put your heart and soul behind it.
Right.
You know, and that's what you guys do with your podcast. And that's what we try to do. And if we can please people, hey, we've done our job. That's it. Enough said.
Well, especially when it comes to cigars nowadays, I mean, you have all the traditional family brands,
mm-hmm.
and all these new boutiques are coming out with their own twist on it.
Right.
And that's necessary because people, you know, they'll get tired of smoking the same thing all the time, or all the cigars are the same.
Right.
If you have a twist on it, if you have a cool story, or like that one Vice Versa cigar.
Right,
you can
exactly.
Stuff like
again,
that.
It's a twist, right?
Yeah.
It's something different.
Every time I walk into a lounge, the first thing I say to the person is,
what's new?
What's new?
Yep.
I want to try the newest thing you have. I've tried the other ones.
Yeah.
I want to try something new. I know what I like.
Yeah, because you can always go back and buy that.
Of course. It's always there.
Yeah, it's never.
But let me try something new. That might be my next big favorite, you know?
Yeah.
So you got to try it. I'm always surprised when I hear people say, I only smoke this one. Well, that's pretty sad.
That was me. That was me. And it was sad. It was sad. And
yeah, I mean, it took us forever to convert him.
Yeah, I mean, it took me like 20 years to get converted. Yeah. 20.
It only took him 20 months. So
that's all right. Well, he's way ahead of the curve. But
no, we had to bring him to the lake and dunk him a few times.
Right. I had to get baptized.
That's what. So, like, just like you, actually, my very first cigar was a Padron 1926 Maduro.
Fucking great cigar.
A little short one.
Fucking great cigar.
I know. So, I went from that to Davidoff. And then when we started smoking cigars together, we were always smoking Davidoff.
That's it.
And how expensive that could get.
That gets very expensive. And
that's where you smoke one cigar a day.
That's it. Yeah. That's, and it's, you know, Davidoff has a certain profile, I'll say, with their cigars. They're pretty much, they don't stray.
No.
They don't have a, they're very narrow.
even their new releases, they're all still...
You kind of know it's a Davidoff. Yeah. And I've just never gravitated to Davidoff, so I don't smoke them.
Well, their cigars do not appeal to me personally. It's not my palate. Mm. I like a more...
He likes a bolder...
I like a full-flavored cigar. Yeah. I like a bold cigar, and they just don't deliver that to me. So to me, I look at them as an overpriced cigar for me, and... There's no reason why I would buy it.
Yeah. Right. I mean,
Patron, I love, though.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, even when we used to smoke them all the time, it was just like, that's what we knew, you know? Mm-hmm. So we knew Davidoff. So we would get it all the time. And then we branched out. I think finally, you know, some of the guys over there were like, hey, did you try this one? It just came in. So we would try that one, go back to Davidoff. And then it just, ever since that, it just steered us away to everything else.
Right. I mean, we were shocked that, you know, listen, when you're looking at $50 cigars and up, those are cigars that you're like, oof, you don't want to even know if you're going to take a shot at it. But we went and we smoked a Byron for the first time. And that blew our minds. That literally took us, and I didn't care about the price at that point. It was about what that cigar delivered. Mm-hmm. It delivered an experience that I never had with any other cigar I ever smoked in my entire life, period. And then I'm like, okay, who makes this? Oh, so it's Alfonso. Alfonso is the guy behind Bahique. And so I'm looking at his Bandolero. So I smoked the Bandolero. I'm like, holy fuck, this is a great cigar at this price point. So I'm like, shit. Then you have his Alfonso line. So then you got Atabey. I mean, you've got cigars there that run the gamut from $10, $11 all the way up to, I don't know, almost $100.
Yeah.
More than that.
With those humidors. Their boxes are humidors. It's crazy.
The boxes are humidors.
You look at that box, you're like, holy shit. Piece of art.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, Alfonso is probably my favorite cigar that they've ever made.
Yeah.
And I'm not a Connecticut guy, but I smoked that cigar, $50 cigar, and it's just so unique, and it's got a unique, like, cranberry taste in that cigar, and I love it. And I would pay $50 for that cigar.
Right. Yeah. You know, because it's giving you something unique, right? You're not finding that anywhere else.
Right.
And that's what I think is, there's a tie to the price. Like there's some tobacco here that is very special.
Yeah.
And that's why that price is where it is, because you do have some unique tobacco in it.
Yeah. I mean, for us, I know we agree on it, for a cigar to be worth more than $30, and, you know, in our opinion, I think it has to be special.
It has to be special.
Right?
It does.
We've smoked $50 cigars. I mean, a $100 cigar, like the Moose of the Sock or the Unicorn.
Right.
But do I think that's worth $100? I don't think so, personally.
Right. Listen, Steve makes great cigars.
Yeah. I love his cigars.
Listen, all of his cigars, the guy is a fucking blending
genius.
He's over the top with his commitment to producing a great cigar.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think no one pays as much attention as he does.
Yeah.
Because I think he drives himself crazy.
Yeah.
You know, but that's his commitment level to putting out a great, great cigar.
Well, don't forget, and he put Drew Estate on the map.
With
Lee. He's the man.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, you know, there's a reason for his following. It's almost like a cult following that he has that follow. Yeah. And they look at his post, and he has the most unique personality in the industry.
Yeah.
It's Sokka, and you know who it is. He's a larger than life person.
Yeah.
Both figuratively and physically. So and you could bust his chops. And it's funny when he comes on our show, it's like, you know, we do like how many Sokkas are on the because we all kind of have a Sokka-esque look to us. So yeah, he laughs and he goes, but that's the thing. So, you know, blenders and cigars that are at price tags that we know we can't just pay out of pocket.
Yeah, yeah.
No.
You know, it's going to be completely. And, you know, hey, everybody's palate is different, right? We all know that. So what works for me may not work for the next guy.
Well, that's what they always say. There's no such thing as a bad cigar.
Right.
It's just your
not for
taste.
You.
Right. Yep.
Exactly.
And there might be a poorly constructed cigar.
Well, I'm not talking about
because those things happen.
Yeah, when it comes to flavor and what
flavor
you enjoy.
Exactly. Right.
It's what you like.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah, and that's what we try to tell our viewers too, because, you know, we'll say, this is what we like, this is what we don't like.
Right.
And people will say, oh, I think this is the best. That's fine. If you like it, you know, that's all you. You. We just like to share our opinion. We're not going to be the guys that come on here and say, you know, every cigar is great.
No, because it doesn't exist. That's bullshit, too.
Yeah.
And it's bullshit.
We had one, and I'll just call him what he is, in my opinion, some idiot who made a statement about us and said, well, they just rave about that cigar because it's a sponsor of theirs. No, that's not true.
We've turned down. You know how many cigars that people send us that they want to be on the show? They send us their cigar, and we're like,
and frankly, it's not for
us. We smoke it.
No.
And we're like, mm-mm.
Yeah, we talked about
it
in the past.
So we choose not to talk about it.
We
just don't want to put anybody down.
Right, exactly.
I'm just not going to do that. But we just don't talk about it. It's not for us.
Yeah, we don't have them on.
Maybe somebody else will like it and talk about it or don't like it. They want to put you down. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. We've definitely had cigars people sent to us. You know, we're like, hey, you know, we're going to smoke it, see how we like it, you know. And if we absolutely love it, you know, or like it, we'll put it on the show.
Right.
Yeah. But if we didn't like it that much, we'll let you know.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
It's like, you know, this cigar is just not that good.
Yeah.
Period. I don't want to make somebody feel bad, but there's a reality
Us. They got money. They got their whatever it is. Their lives are involved in making that cigar. To them, it's going to be like the cat's ass. They want to promote that.
Yeah.
But if it's not up to par for us, we're not going to talk about
it. Yeah, you don't want to be dishonest too. I mean, listen, we have a show, we have viewers that trust us.
Exactly.
So we can't get on here and say this cigar is amazing and then everyone that tries it is like,
what the fuck are those guys doing?
Yeah. And then they probably won't watch you again because they don't know what they're talking about.
These guys are sponsor whores or whatever.
Yeah.
And I try to think that we're really not. I mean, the cigars that we do smoke and we do talk about are cigars that we enjoy. Cigars that we do smoke and we don't talk about, cigars we didn't enjoy, and you're not going to hear about it.
Yeah, but look how many people who watch us, regular followers, who will always buy a cigar that we're talking about, that person's cigar, that blender.
Yeah, that night.
And they buy it and they give us their feedback.
And they
say, wow, you guys are right.
Like,
that was
right
wonderful.
On,
I never knew about
point,
that cigar.
You know.
Okay, so we taught somebody something
that
night, you know?
It's working.
Exactly.
It's working.
Exactly, exactly. So yeah, we shit. I hope that we didn't bore your audience.
No,
honestly, easier show by the way.
I don't know.
They cut half of this out, Bob. Actually, they cut all of my blowhard stuff out.
Mine's been on mute for half an hour.
That's good.
Know?
That's why I didn't hit you.
I don't think I'm going to upload this episode. I'm
honest
with you.
No, I wouldn't upload it.
No, I know. We get carried away on our show sometimes.
When does this get? You're going to send me the link, so
of course,
we can
share
it. Yeah, this way we can share it with our crazy people, and they'll probably watch and say, "What are you guys doing their show for?" Because we
like that.
Exactly. Exactly.
In a few years, they'll be us, and we'll be retired watching their show.
Hopefully we stick around that long.
That's right. Yeah.
You will.
You guys in the next gen.
I think you guys will be successful.
No, I appreciate you. Yes.
Yeah.
Seriously. Yeah.
You know, and this is a great cigar, by
except
the way.
Except you.
Thank you.
You know, part of our success, too, is
now.
we have a automatic, you know, formatting thing on the computer that cuts everything that comes from that mic.
I didn't know that. We're gonna have to use that technique on Ronnie.
Yeah.
That it recognizes his voice and it mutes it automatically and then uploads it. I like that idea.
We actually just play background music whenever, you know, cuts your voice
perfect.
Out, puts on music.
Perfect. But great cigar,
thank
guys.
You.
Thank you.
And more than good fortune. Hopefully more and more people get this and they're able to enjoy it like we have today on the show. So
That's it. You're ready to go?
No.
I thought you were cutting out.
I just wanted to give him a good
segue. Are you going to do the outro too? You know?
I like those little, you know, I used to work in the video business a long time ago. I produced and directed a bunch of shit. I worked for a lot of interesting people in Manhattan. So I had my own production company. So that goes with this whole craziness.
Well, yeah, you know, you got to have fun and then you got to get serious and look at the camera and tell them to go buy the Besa cigar.
I didn't
go
the camera once.
No. Go buy the Besa. If not, we got people. Let's just say.
You can't go against the Albanians and the Italians at the same time.
You're in trouble, man.
But yeah, we're going to go ahead and wrap it up. This will be the longest episode for sure. But I'm glad that you guys were a part of it. Seriously.
Thank
thanks for coming on.
Thank you so much, guys. It's been a pleasure.
And thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of The Cigar Guys. Be sure to subscribe and hit the notification bell so you can stay updated with when we upload new episodes. Go to our link tree as well. All our social media is on there. We got a bunch of short clips for you guys to watch and enjoy. Again, thank you for tuning in. Go check out these guys. Links in the description. And we'll see you next time.
See you guys.
Good night, Solo. Everybody. Or good day, or whatever you want to be.
Whatever you identify your day as.
Yes.